Day 14, Gatherings. Welcome to Day 14, as we uncover the importance of gathering together. There is something special when God's people gather to learn and worship Him. As mentioned before, we were never meant to walk this life alone. That is why God gave us not only the Holy Spirit, but brothers and sisters to do life with. We are made in the image of God, and He created us to have relationships, just like God Himself desires to be in relationships. Human interaction is healthy mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It's vital for true spiritual health. I make this point because of a coworker's experience I had many years ago. This person said to me, "I believe in God and I worship Him on my own. I don't need a church to do that." I was very young when I heard that argument, and I did not have a great answer, but I knew that didn't seem right. As I matured in my faith, I came across a scripture that helped shape my understanding of what I was thinking. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Traps in gathering together. As you look to find a good church home, there can be things that come up which I call traps. I have heard so many believers in the West say that these two arguments or why they either don't go to church or why they stop going. One is based on the idea that the church wants my money. The second is, "I was hurt by someone last time I went to church. You can't trust anyone from churches." I want to address these two attacks that the church often faces and oftentimes push the believer further away from the body of Christ. Money. My mother had an experience many years ago when she was very young about this very thing. The story goes that when she went to church with my grandmother years ago, the pastor came up to them and said, "You better start tithing or you need to go to another church." Now, I'm probably giving a very loose translation of what he said, but it stuck with my mother to this very day. In scenarios like this, the enemy uses greed from an individual or a small group of people to push an agenda that isn't the Lord's. The enemy distorts the truth to make it seem like every church must be like that. The enemy will do everything to push you away from the truth, and as believers, we have to look through that. The truth is this: tithing and giving teaches us to trust God over money, and it's an expression of our gratitude for everything He has done for us. The enemy doesn't want us to trust God with all aspects of our lives, which includes the tithe. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, "In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories." Matthew 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Hurt. Over time, if you stay in the church long enough, I can assure you there will be a moment when someone fails you, whether it's talking behind your back or doing something that offends you. The reason I know this is because the church is made up of human beings, and we are all flawed. No one is perfect, not even the pastor. Ephesians says the following. Ephesians 4, verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you." If you are truly walking with Christ daily, I would encourage you to model the Lord's Prayer in your own words, which is found in Matthew 6. It's very interesting because it prepares us ahead of time that offense will come against us and we will offend others. That is why the Lord's Prayer says, Matthew 6, 12, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." It's preparing us ahead of time that because we are human, and we live, work, and fellowship with other humans, it will get ugly at times because we are not perfect. So prepare yourself to be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, and being patient with one another. Conclusion. You see, the enemy wants to keep us isolated, away from the body of Christ, away from gathering together. Isolation creates environments of vulnerability where the enemy can attack our thoughts. Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. And discourage our faith. John 10, verse 10. Being by yourself is not a bad thing, but consistent isolation can and will feed into such things as depression and hopelessness. As emotional beings, we do feed off the fellowship, encouragement, and momentum of others around us. Even if you are introverted, the gathering of Christians still matters, no matter your personality type. It feeds your emotional and mental health. We shouldn't neglect it. Even if someone has offended you, choose not to be offended and forgive quickly. Don't allow that one person or situation to stop you from what God has for you. Note, if there has ever been physical or sexual abuse, we can forgive, but it does need to be reported. There can be environments where mental, physical, or sexual abuse might have taken place, but that is a completely different scenario. There are times when we might need to leave somewhere because it has gotten to a place of pure corruption, and that is okay. If I may add, if that has been your experience, I would humbly suggest praying, and at the right time as you heal, finding a healthy church family. This is vital to your spiritual development. Denominational differences. There will be different expressions of the body of Christ until Jesus comes. You have probably heard that birds of a feather flock together. Well, to a certain extent, that is true for the body of Christ. In my experience, you have two opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to styles. In fundamentalists, this group would be described as less emotional and more logically based spirituality. Then at the other end of the spectrum is the charismatic side, which is sensitive to the emotional side of spirituality, but still roots itself in the logic and framework of Scripture. What this comes down to is personality type and personal preference. God made us with all different personality types, and that is the beauty of different expressions within the body of Christ. We are different parts, but we are one in Christ. I have learned there is nothing wrong with either. As long as Christ is anchored within these multiple expressions and the Word of God is your foundation. I have been a part of both sides, and God uses both groups effectively. They both have pros and cons because humans are involved. Believe it or not, we even see this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1 verses 11 through 17. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. We are all imperfectly trying our best to pursue Christ. Let us be united as one, even though we have different preferences or styles of worship. Let's not tear one another down, but build each other up through prayer and encouragement. We are one. Lastly, be cautious, because some churches and leaders feel they are the only ones doing things right in their pursuit of God. Be cautious of these types of leaders and churches that consider themselves the pure church or true church. Philippians chapter 2 verses 3 through 5. When you find that kind of spirit at work, it is the work of the flesh, pride, and of the enemy, and not of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 11:14, 1 John 4:1. Types of gatherings. Lastly, there are many types of gatherings nowadays, from virtual to physical. I want to encourage you again that meeting together physically matters, even if you have a great digital church experience. I am not against online church services, but I still believe, according to Scripture, that physical gatherings matter. Hebrews 10:25 reminds us, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. If you are very digitally focused, I would just challenge you to make sure you gather in person as much as possible. I strongly believe you will find value in that physical interaction. We also see that both gathering sizes, large and small gatherings, are present in Scripture. A very simple illustration in Acts 2:46. They worshiped together at the temple each day, large gatherings, met in homes, small groups, for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you will see God's people gathering together to worship God. It's what His people do. We see that worship through songs, prayer, fellowship, communion, ministry, and preaching as part of Scripture gatherings. It pleases God that we gather together, no matter the size of the group.